You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Claudia Rosette joins us this segment to talk about some of her specialties in dealing with the United Nations and the tremendous impact they have for making the world a better place. And Claudia, I guess we can all celebrate and we can all be happy because the world has been saved. The greatest security threat faced in the history of Earth has been averted, dealt with, and handled by a group of our elite leaders in Paris. Climate change is over. Can you tell us how that went?
Yes, we can celebrate victory over the weather or something like that. This has been a long time push at the United Nations. It was at one point a fight against global cooling, and then it was a fight against global warming, and now it has simply become a fight against any change of climate at all, which is sort of like taking on the tides. Except it's much more useful for the UN and the sort of entourage that assembles around us and the cronies, and it's a gravy train, basically. Basically, I think someday history will look back on this as the superstitious craze of the day. The science is not conclusive in any sense, you know. But that hasn't really mattered because the gravy train for those who propound this has become so big, you know, including this promised creation of $100 billion fund to mitigate climate change. Well, what are we actually talking about here? The climate of the planet has been changing since forever, since it began. And the way that mankind has dealt with this has been, at the best of times, but through actually what we used to call the free market. Remember that? You adapt, you invent, you design things. For instance, clothing was one of the early adaptations. fire. We invented shelter houses, central heating, all sorts of cooling, all kinds of things. And what this does, and this is actually, here's the big problem. In order to try and get everyone away from fossil fuels, except I note ISIS, where President Obama did not want to bomb the oil wells so they could be preserved for future benefits in Syria. Apparently, oil wells controlled by ISIS are okay, but fossil fuels from everywhere else are a problem.
This is Jim Hansen doing Secure Freedom Radio and joined by Claudia Rosette, journalist in residence at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And we've been having kind of a whistling past the graveyard, comedic look at the climate treaty that was just unveiled by our elites in Paris. Could you give us some more info about how they are going to manage to get China and India, who seems to already be breaking the coal rules, to stop their massive contributions to the death of the planet?
Well, it will work like most things at the UN, only even worse. There is no mechanism to enforce any of this. Each nation will sort of decide, try to set its own targets, and then sort of effectively monitor its own compliance.
Or, kind of like the Iran deal.
Yeah, exactly. Only even less organized, really, effectively enforce its own compliance, which is also how the UN works. And what that means in practice is countries like the U.S. will pass laws. I'm sure that President Obama will be further using his pen and phone and the Environmental Protection Agency to constrict and control how Americans are allowed to use fuel, basically, how much we're allowed to emit, what we're allowed to burn, produce. You know, we've already seen the restrictions on coal and so on. While countries that are less transparent, less responsible to the people who, you know, where the governments can do pretty much what they want, will ignore this kind of thing. And what you'll have in the end, what it amounts to, is an effort at global central planning in the energy sphere and an enormous wealth transfer, because the idea here is, oh, developing countries get to keep on using whatever they need to and emitting a lot, because even if they agree to reduce it a little bit, because they need to reach what these central planners at places like the UN have decided are peak emissions, you know, the maximum before they start to reduce it again, because they're now rich and can afford to have central planning and the destruction of wealth.
So it's socialism with a global thermostat, and again, we've got the people who can't control their own actions telling the rest of us to control. This kind of makes me want to go out and turn on my truck outside and let it idle while we're talking, just to thwart them in any way we can.
There's another bad aspect to it. The countries that tend to have the lowest emissions, since this group, the UN, has decided some time ago, and this whole movement decided that the problem is carbon emissions. You know, there are terrible problems with pollution in places like China. Whether carbon is a problem is a very different question, but that's what they look at. And the countries that have the lowest carbon emissions tend to be the countries that are poorest, the countries that are most badly governed. Those are the dictatorships of the world. Those are countries like Laos and North Korea and Zimbabwe. They really don't rate high on the carbon emissions scale, unlike the developed wealthy nations that produce things and have led the way to the rising global prosperity we have seen over the last century. So what you end up doing is transferring wealth from productive democracies to retrograde dictatorships, which tends to benefit the dictators, not the people who live under them. So once again, it sort of works out to your typical UN type of transfer, only vastly souped up.
I have one more quick question. Is the UN helping out with North Korea at all? There seems to be a little, flurry of activity around UN and the North Koreans. Is there anything good or bad going on there?
Yeah, the UN has developed a system in which at this point, once a year, this is the second time the Security Council discusses North Korea. And then since China, and this came out of an extensive and very damning report where the UN finally, last year, where the UN finally took real notice of the very well done reports that had been coming out for years from a number of human rights organizations, NGOs, and so on, which kept pointing out that North Korea has one of the most atrocious, if not the most atrocious, human rights record on the planet. Finally, years into this, decades into this, the UN produced a long report, which was quite damning. And this report urged that North Korea's leaders be referred to the International Criminal Court. Now, that's problematic to begin with. Remember, the president of Sudan has been under indictment by the International Criminal Court for years. He's still ruling Sudan. The ICC is also a politicized body. It's not actually an ideal place to deal with any of this stuff, but it's the UN answer. At the same time, even that isn't actually happening because this has been referred, this needs to go through the Security Council, where Russia and China have vetoes, have permanent seats. They can veto anything that the Council wants to do. And a year ago, December, they discussed this North Korean issue, which is really quite terrible, and they agreed to keep it on the agenda. That was as far as they could get. They didn't discuss it for another year. They just discussed it again, and it's still on the agenda. So we now have a fig leaf tradition for the UN dealing with North Korea, which is that once a year, the Security Council will discuss it. And people like our ambassador will talk about how terrible things are, which is quite right. And then everyone will just sort of agree that they'll discuss it again at some future date and carry on.
Yeah, they get back to sipping mint tea by the pool and nibbling Pettit Fours, which seems to be the main function of UN diplomats. Claudia, thank you again for keeping an eye on those folks for us. It's a horrendous thing to have to do, but you take one for the team, and we appreciate that. Coming up next, we will speak with Dr. Ilan Berman. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.